Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Once again, in tune two, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As usual, and especially for the first-time listeners, because we are getting a lot of new listeners from different media platforms, and I thank God for it. I know it's not my doing, but it is of the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. So we just give God the glory and the praise for what he's doing over this worldwide network and platform. So I'm asking all the listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to share with us another inspirational poem, and he's going to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. So you need to get your Bibles, pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with him as we go through God's word once again on tonight. We always open up with prayer. I know that you who are saved in Jesus' name are a witness that we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. So I'm asking all listeners, please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It is in his name we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. We thank you that you never slumber nor sleep. We thank you that you are a faithful God. You always remember your word, and you promised, Heavenly Father, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. That once we're in your hands through your Son Jesus Christ, you promise that nothing and no one can ever pluck us out of your hands. So for this, we are grateful in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we come asking that you would move by your Spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, also Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every faithful doer of your word who are saved in Jesus' name. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. And so we're so grateful on tonight that we who are saved in Jesus' name, although we do sin, and yet we are saved, we thank you that we can repent through your Son, Jesus Christ, and be forgiven. And that way we can move forward and fulfill our God purpose in the earth for your glory, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us, because we know that we are not worthy of it. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, because we know that you are still working miracle signs and wonders all over the land, that when you are touching and healing your people, we will not fail to remember to let the world know that it was you who have healed us and delivered us and set us free in the name of Jesus. We also come, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, asking that you would move by your Spirit, comfort and strengthen those that have believed on tonight. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. We are hearing on the news and seeing on the news so many people are losing loved ones, and so many are going through grieving. They're grieving right now because of the loss of loved ones. So we ask that you will move by your Spirit. Continue to comfort and strengthen them as only you can. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us. We pray, Lord, that you would have your way, move by your Spirit. Heavenly Father, before we close this prayer, we don't want to forget to lift up all those that may be listening on tonight that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, that who do not have a personal relationship with him. It's our hope and prayer and desire that something will be said through your word on tonight, through the poem, through the music, or through your word, that something will be said on tonight that will touch their hearts after hearing your word, Heavenly Father, that they will open their own mouth, even on tonight, and confess their sins and ask your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved, they will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill that individual God purposes in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we lift up our president to you right now. We know, Heavenly Father, that you're able to touch hearts. Heavenly Father, some people in the earth seem to have the notion or think just like Pharaoh did in the days of Pharaoh, and you had to harden his heart. So, Lord, we know that you are able to touch our president's heart even now. So we pray, Lord, and we lift him up to you, and we pray if he's not saved, that you will send a word his way, Heavenly Father, that he will be able to receive your word, and that he, too, will be able to confess his sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him so that he can be the vessel that you have called for him to be in the earth for your glory. And not only president, our president of the United States, but every world leader all over the land, move by your Spirit, Heavenly Father. Touch their hearts, Heavenly Father, that they will be able to show love and compassion for all people. For we know that your word is true, that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and there's spiritual wickedness in high places, and we are seeing it even now on today. But we thank you that you are in total control, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we hear or see on the news, no matter what we think or feel. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control at all times, because you never slumber nor sleep. Your eyes are in every place. So we just bless your name on tonight for who you are. We just give you the glory, honor, and praise. So now, Lord, we just ask that you would have your way on tonight, move by your Spirit, that you would be glorified through it all is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Continue to bless each listener all over the land that tunes in faithfully to this worldwide ministry and platform, that you would grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And Father, I lift up my Bishop James A. Jennings and the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church family, and also Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr., where I serve as the musician at the Morning Star Baptist Church. I lift him up in the Morning Star Baptist Church family, and all those that are faithful doers of your word all over the land. Continue to strengthen us and use us for your glory individually and as a corporate body of believers, that you will be glorified is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, we have another scripture food for thought. Tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, leave no opportunity unexplored. Keep the fire in your heart alive. Stay true to your beliefs. Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought. Leave no opportunity unexplored. Keep the fire in your heart alive. Stay true to your beliefs. Before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox to share another inspirational poem, and also to deliver God's word on tonight, I pray again that all listeners have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along with him as we get ready to go through God's word again on tonight. I thank God for what he's doing in my life, not only through this ministry and worldwide platform, but he has blessed me to write another book. And the book is titled, I'm hoping to have it released before Christmas, because it'll be a great Christmas gift for young people. And the title of this book that the Lord has blessed me to write is God on Instagram? Finding Faith on Social Media, a Guide for Teens and Young Adults. Again, I thank God for this upcoming book that he has blessed me to write, and the team that he's put me with, that are working with me so faithfully. And again, the title of the book, upcoming book, is titled, Is God on Instagram? Finding Faith on Social Media, a Guide for Teens and Young Adults. So be on the lookout for that book once it's released. Also, I want to thank God for every listener that tunes in faithfully to this ministry and platform on Blog Talk Radio. We have thousands of listeners on Blog Talk Radio that tunes in faithfully. Also, we have over 4,000 listeners on Instagram. We also have followers on Snapchat. I just thank God for what he's doing. Once again, as I said earlier, it's not of my doing. This is the Lord's doing. And so I just give him the glory, honor, and praise. And I ask that you all will continue to tune in faithfully, continue to share the news about this worldwide ministry so that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassador-vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox, we're going to go to a music break. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. And he's going to first share with us another inspirational poem. And I'm asking him to go directly into God's word following the poem. Enjoy the music break. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Aren't you grateful on tonight? I know I am grateful that Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, thought that your life and my life was worth living, that he came down from glory and paid our sin debt with his own sinless blood on the cross, that we could be redeemed back to our Heavenly Father. What an awesome God. Thank God for Jesus Christ. He is our the greatest form of love that we could ever see or imagine. He showed his love for God the Father first and his love for us, that he came down and he paid our sin debt with his own sinless blood on the cross for you and for me. Before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox, I was going to wait until the almost the end of this month to make this announcement, but I think it is only fair to let the listeners know, and also all my guests that comes on, let them know that because of what God is doing in my life, through my upcoming book, the Lord has let me do some shifting, because I was doing a lot of different things at the same time, and it was starting to be too much. So in order for me to fulfill my purpose and complete this new book that the Lord has blessed me to write, I'm informing the listeners on tonight, don't be alarmed, I just want you all to know that as of Thursday, October the 31st, the last Thursday of this month, I will be going off the air until the first part of February of 2020, if it be the Lord's will. Once again, I will be doing my last show on Thursday, October the 31st, because of what God is doing in my life, and I want to make sure that I complete this book that the Lord has blessed me to write. So I want to get focused on that so I can get it done. And so I will be coming back on the air, same platform, if it be the Lord's will, the first part of February 2020. So I ask that you mark your calendars so that you don't forget that you will be able to tune in the first part of February 2020. Again, if it be the Lord's will, that we come back on the air so we can continue where we are leaving off at on the last Thursday of this month, which will be the 31st of October. So I just wanted to make sure that you all knew that, the faithful listeners. I don't want to catch you all off guard. So I wonder what happened to Brother Brown in the show. So I just it's only right to let you all know what God is doing in my life. So I thank God for you all being a part of my life and being a part of this worldwide platform. But when God has called you to do an assignment for his glory, then you have to adjust your schedule sometime in order to fulfill your God purpose in the earth. So that's what I'm doing. I am not stopping the show. I'm just going to take a break so I can finish this book so we can get it published and released for God's glory. So right now I yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, I pray that you, the listeners, have your Bibles, have your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with him as he shared with us another inspirational poem. Then it's going to go directly to God's word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown. It's truly indeed an honor and a privilege to be able to bring forth the Lord's word. I can't thank him enough for the privilege that he has extended to me through Brother Brown to be able to talk to his people, to be able to counsel his people, to be able to bring forth a rich and rewarding word. Tonight's poem is a poem, it's an inspirational poem, but before I read it, I'd like to say to the people out there that there's a lot of Christians that are frustrated, a lot of Christians that are tired from the everyday activities of the world. There's a lot of Christians, my brothers and sisters, that is on the verge of giving up. And we think to ourselves, is it worth it? When I was in the world, I had this, that, and the other. I didn't have to worry about that. But now I'm living in fear of everything. But I got news for you. The Lord got news for you. It is worth it. So just hang on in there. Be diligent. Do not let the rigors of the world get you down, because at the end you'll be richly rewarded. Now, the poem for tonight is entitled One Great Day. One great day when this life is over, we'll be able to frolic in the fields of clover. One great day when there will be no longer be war, when all lies and deceptions will be no more. One day when we are pardoned from this earthly prison of hate and released into a world of love. I can hardly wait. One day we will have no fears. One great day we will shed no tears. One day when worry is abolished and trust takes its place and joy is in every heart and on every face. One day when our troubles won't last, when locked doors will be a thing of the past. There will be no homeless and all souls will be fed as we sit at the table of redemption and break bread. One day we'll be reunited with loved ones going by and storm clouds will never darken our sky. One day when a lion will play with the lamb and we can all talk with Father Abraham. There'll be no death, so there'll be no reason to grieve. A great day is coming for those that believe. And at the end of life journey, when you have gave all you can give, remember, we're not living to die. We're dying to live. Amen. I'd like to now draw your attention to the book of Exodus. I'm reading from the King James Version of the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 17. And as we know, those are the Ten Commandments. But I'm not going to take it for granted that everyone knows, because we could have one that is just tuning in, one that has not known the Lord on a personal level. And it reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh the name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." I have just read it to you from Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 17. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will. And may it edify our souls. Amen. Now, tonight's topic, upon reading that, we know that we are governed by rules and regulations. We're governed by God's law. And that's what God's law that he extended to us. And our topic for tonight is, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. And Exodus, the 20th chapter, has given us a roadmap on what to do and what not to do. And I will be adding some additional scriptures as we progress in tonight's lesson. Now, the first one that we shouldn't do, let us say, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. So we're talking about limitations as Christians. There's just certain things that we won't do because we are willing and we have made a dedication to live up to the standards that is commanded by God. Now, he says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And so God is reminding each and every last one of us, because some of us, we get amnesia on the Lord. We forget that it was him that brought us through the things, the troubles of the world. And it's easy to give someone else credit when the credit belongs to God. So you do remember what God did for each and every last one of us. So I'll do anything for love, but I won't forget that. And I know the human, the flesh, and we're going to talk about the flesh also. I know that the flesh, you cannot please the flesh. You cannot continuously serve the Lord, not unless you kill the flesh. The flesh must die. So these do's and don'ts of the Bible is constantly telling us, each and every last one of us, don't do this, don't do that, because why? We have made a commitment to serve the Lord, and believe me when I tell you, it's harder than what anybody could imagine, trying to live a good Christian life, because there will be temptations that will come at us from every side, come at us unexpectedly. We live in a day and age now that those things that we prepare for, when we protect our doors and our windows, now people are coming through the walls. They're coming through the ceilings. They're coming up through the floor. So if you think about it, now is not the time to compromise. I know there are a lot of senior citizens out there who love their family, who would do anything for their family, but we have to compromise, which God does not want us to do, and spending our hard-earned money, our retirement fund, on foolishness. Why? Because we're favoritizing the flesh. God's word is telling us, don't do that. I'll do anything for love, but I won't give you no money to go out there and spend on foolishness. I'll do anything for love, but I will not allow you to come into my house and disrespect my house, disrespect my husband, disrespect my wife. I'll let you in. I won't turn you away, but when you come in, you have to live according to the rules and regulations, just like the law that is set before you. But we're compromising every day. Sometimes I wonder, as I look about things, as I contemplate and visualize the different things that some grandparents, some parents are going through, and you look at that situation and you say to yourself, who is the parent? But God's words say, honor thy father and thy mother. So when we allow ourselves to be disrespected or dishonored, we compromise, and we're supposed to let them know, I'll do anything for love, but I won't let you do the thing that you're doing. I will not allow you to come in here and force me through your shenanigans to denounce my Lord. Because, see, sometimes we get love twisted, and we get it twisted in such a way that we think that what seems right, because it's a feel-good situation for us, and we be in compliance with these things. Okay, now the next verse is letting us know, it says, don't worship anyone or anything but God, which in the King James Version say, thou should not have any other gods before me. Now, there's a lot of things that we have made our gods. We made our jobs. We made our cars. We made our mates. We made our children. And they get all the attention that God wants from us. And see, God is a fair God. God would not allow us to serve him and not have time to spend with our family, not have time to go out there and work, which I'm going to bring up in the following scriptures. Also, God's word is letting each and every last one of us know. It says that don't make any idols. And that's the aforementioned things that I said, those things that we put in front of God without unknowingly, subconsciously. But the Lord tell us, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. So your no shouldn't turn into a yes because one of your loved ones have brought forth a tantrum on you. God's letting you know that when you speak with the power of God. And this is the frustration that a lot of Christians are having because we feel powerless when it comes down to just telling our children, telling our neighbors, telling our friends, telling our relatives the truth. Don't worry about that because God, he has your back. And we must continue to love. And we must not allow ourselves to be compromised. Say, do honor your father and your mother. I'll do anything for love, but I won't disrespect my parents. I won't cause their hearts to grieve because I'm a disobedient child. Now, sometimes we're going to come into a disagreement. One time, we're going to think that we know a little bit more than them, but believe it or not, your parents, the elders in the church, hopefully if they're spirit-filled people, they have your best interest at heart, and they will not do anything to hurt you or harm you in any way because they have been most of the time to where we're trying to get. And there's nothing wrong with an admonishment. But see, we take that word and we say that somebody is chastising us. But see, and to admonish someone is to just simply give them a warning. Tell them that the path that they've taken, that is going to be a severe consequence. But a lot of times we pursue those things. We get off into things that we would listen. 100 times each of us have said to ourselves, I should have listened to my mama. I should have listened to my dad. I should have listened to the preacher. I should have listened to that judge because we have to suffer the consequences of our actions. Say, do keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. I will keep it holy. I will not make it unholy through my activities. And we wonder and see a lot of these things are easier said than done. We pronounce what we're doing and we say and we claim that we're going to do this, but to give you a good example, Aaron, who was a chief priest, when Moses went into the mountain to commune with God, and all of the wonderful things that Aaron had done, all the miracles that had been performed, Aaron compromised himself. Why? Because he allowed the people to make a golden calf and to begin to worship that golden calf, to begin to bow down to that calf. And God's word says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, now serve them. So if you find yourself bowing down, then you're compromising. You find yourself not doing what thus says the Lord, you're compromising. But as I said, it's easier said than done. We all make compromises in our everyday life. We make compromises when we go to the store and we only have a few dollars to spend. We say, well, if I get this right here, we can eat for one day, but if I get some potatoes and some chicken, we can eat for a whole week. And I'm more than sure that a lot of us can identify that, but if we go for that one day where we eat great, then the next few days, it's a consequence. We'll be hungry. So don't compromise. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. I will not squander. I will not let those things that God has given me get away from me. So there's a lot of things that they'll say love will travel. Love will do things. Love will be there for you. But love will not make you denounce the Lord. Love will not force you to go against God. Love will not do that. Love is just plain and simple. But sometimes because of the temptation of the flesh, which you cannot please, it is so great that, and I'm going to move up a little bit, we're going to move up to coveting. And we know to covet something, and that's just about at the end of Exodus, the Ten Commandments, that thou should not covet. And so let's look at that word for one moment. We know that to covet, we think that covet is to want something. But no, that's not the case. But we all have wants. But covet something is to wrongfully, and I repeat, to wrongfully desire that God did not intend for you to have. We know that to covet means that desire wrongfully or without due regard for the rights of others. So sometimes we will run roughshod over something. Why? Because that flesh dictates to us to do this and to do that and to compromise. So I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. I mean, I know that sometimes we come into very, very compromising situations because we're not going to give credence to that other fellow who is against God. But he knows what you like. He knows what you dislike. He knows your want. He knows your desires. He knows your needs. He's aware of your lust. And so it's been many a person that have compromised, that have took a hold to the gospel plow and look back. We know that Lot's wife, she compromised. She looked back. All she had to do was look forward. All she had to do was continue to move forward in the name of the Lord. We also know that one of my favorite sayings is that a jet plane does not have any rearview mirror. So we're moving onward and upward in the name of the Lord. Then there's no reason for us to look back upon those pleasurable days that are embedded in our mind and that is constantly beckoning us to come back or to return to those things. Because, see, the flesh, it remembers pleasure. The flesh, it remembers those good feelings that it experienced. So I'm saying I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. But see, God's word let us know in Corinthians when Paul was speaking that even the best of us are susceptible to compromise. The best of us can fall into a rut and take us a long time to get out of that rut. He knows that our spiritual leaders can veer off course, and those that are following our spiritual leaders. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if I have a strong leader, and I believe in that leader, I believe that that leader is a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman, then all that leader has to do is just veer off course. Guess what? I'm going to veer off course too. So we have to be careful. We know the covenant says to wish for very eagerly. So we're not supposed to be eager to do things that is against God. We know that our passion and we know that our lust will dictate to us you know, make us look at our neighbor's wife twice. But God's word say, thou should not covet thy neighbor's wife or his man servant or anything that is thy neighbor's. And so to go back to coveting, we said to wrongly desire. And we know that desire is a great passion. God even said in his word that it is not his desire that man must die, but after death, the judgment. But we know that desire, you can associate desire in the right context with God. It's not his will. It's not what he would want. But see, when we allow that desire to get out of control, then it brings about complications to our life. Now, we're going to move expeditiously along. We're going to go over to the book of Job. Now, see, Job had a serious problem going on. He had lost his health. He lost his wealth. And he lost his family. And in the process of him losing that, as I was studying, the Lord brought it to my attention. We, you know, I've been really hard on Job's wife all of these years. Said, why would she say something like that? Why would she say, you just ought to, and I'm paraphrasing, you just ought to cuss your God and die? But imagine, if you will, with me, here go a man that had lost everything that was near and dear to him, and he was in excruciating pain. And she probably blamed God, probably thought that God was punishing Noah, just like his friends did. But when she told him that, first of all, he rebuked her. He said, you don't speak as my wife. You speak as a foolish woman. He also told her, said, the Lord thy God giveth, and the Lord thy God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I'll do anything for love, but I won't denounce my God. I'll do anything for love, but I won't curse my God. I'll do anything for love, but I won't turn back upon those things that God has instilled in my heart. Have you noticed when you're hungry, when you're in need, that's when that compromise comes at you. You go back to when the Lord was in the wilderness, and 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. And then it says in God's word that after that amount of time expired, that he was hungry. He was hungry because that flesh was craving food. That flesh was desiring food. And then Satan told him to say, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. But the Lord responded, it is written that thou should not tempt the Lord thy God. So I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. I'm going to wait on my Father. And so this takes us to the impatient Christian. Those of us who don't know how to wait. Those of us who become so overwhelmed that when that offer is put on the table, we go, as they would used to say for a long time ago, we go for the okey-doke. We go for the wild card. But these are examples that when you are weak in your flesh and someone comes along with what it seems like a remedy to your situation, and they offer it up to you, and it seems they offer it up so innocently. But see, a lot of times during that compromise, that penalty that comes behind that compromise. But see, compromise is not a good thing. Compromise will lead you away from God and away from the standards that he set. But I'm going to keep on reiterating that it's not easy. We have to have self-discipline. We have to be able to look at a situation and examine that situation and ask ourselves, is this the way God will have us to do? So we have to have that patience to be able to wait on the Lord, to be able to sit down and ponder. Because why would God tell you to wait on him when it's a remedy around the corner. But the flesh do not want to suffer. The flesh does not want to go through no agony or no turmoil. Nobody wants to sacrifice for the Lord. He said, thou should not bear false witness against the Lord or against thy neighbor. Excuse me. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And see, that's a handful right there. Because there's so many, and I used to think to myself that when we lie, it's simple as that. God's word said that a liar will not tarry in his sight. So we are not to lie in order to gain something, because see, that compromise is some type of a gain. That compromise is a sacrifice that leads to a gain. And word has it that said, what profit the man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? So, and see, that comes from compromising, from getting away from the ordinance of God. So we must be mindful that that compromise, I'll do anything for love, but I won't lie on my neighbor. I won't lie against my wife. I won't lie to my children, because the truth will set you free. No reason to do that. Why are we so fearful of telling somebody the truth? Because, see, the truth, it may hurt you. The truth may be painful, but a lie is putting you on the wrong side of God's law. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, we've got to be careful with that. And I used to think a long time ago that it was using blaspheme words. The Lord opened my understanding. I found out that it's totally different than the conception or the perception that I had concerning his word. Found out that taking the Lord's name in vain is calling the Lord to witness for my wrongdoing. Calling the Lord's name to say, to verify that something I did was wrong is right. And I think that's just as vain can be. And there are a lot of people, just look about you, that would take the name of the Lord in vain, that would use his name, because a lot of times when we use God's name, it draws a lot of attention to us. It draws a lot of attention to those people that are close enough to hear what it is that we're saying. But God is saying, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So it may include those blaspheme words that people use, but if you look back on it, Peter, he would cuss you out and cut your ear off in a minute. So I'm not going to say that God will allow these things, but sometimes our human frailties will come to the surface and they will compromise us. I'll do anything through my awareness of love, but I will not do that. I will not consciously of the Lord in vain. I won't do that. So it's a choice that we have to make, my brothers and sisters, concerning God's word. We must look forward and see there are a lot of people that compromise. Look at King David. He was a God-fearing man. But one day, he looked down. And he looked down and he seen this beautiful woman bathing on the rooftop. And his lust began to perpetuate inside of him. And he said that I've got to have this woman, which leads us to murder. But see, it's a lot of ways that one person can be murdered without taking their life. You can kill an idea. One of your grandchildren, one of your neighbors, or somebody could come to you very enthusiastically about doing something. Now, I don't want to hear that right now. Get out of my face. Whether we know it or not, we have killed that individual spirit. So we have to look at it figuratively and literally. And we rebuke those that come to us and we turn them away or we give them a negative vibration concerning that. If it's wrong, we say, well, I disagree with that you're saying, but let me tell you why I disagree. And don't tell them what how you feel about it, because they wouldn't give a jump down about how you feel. Say, okay, this is what thus says the Lord, and it's going against God's ordinance. But sometimes we be focused on things so much that we're not allowed ourselves to open up and minister to that person who came to us. So, as I was telling you, we can murder without pulling the trigger. We can say some hurtful things to our husbands and our wives and our children, and it kills them dead. It just nullifies that spirit, that emotional spirit that is within them. So I disqualified myself a long time ago from when I read the Ten Commandments. I said, no, I don't commit adultery. You know, I don't, you know, covet my neighbor's wife. I don't do none of these things, but I didn't realize how wrong I was. For the simple reason, it's not that I had my eyes on my neighbor's wife, which Exodus tells us we're not supposed to covet those things, but any time an individual is unfaithful, when you're unfaithful to the church, when you're unfaithful to God, then you are an adulterer, because Hosea's wife, Gomer, she went a whoring after other gods. So we hear a scripture and we immediately disqualify ourselves by saying, that does not apply to me. But somewhere in your life, you heard that scripture, somewhere in your life, there's been some unfaithfulness going on with you that is taking you away from God. You're cheating on God. Every time you promote something that is not so, or you promote that sinful flesh, then you've been unfaithful to God. So we have to be mindful of those things. We cannot allow ourselves to be compromised in no kind of way. We cannot allow ourselves to be pushed to that limit because somebody close around the contents of our heart need a favor. Now, we know that it's wrong, but because we don't want to see them suffer, then we pay for their pleasure. We know that it's wrong, but we compromise, say, no, if I don't do it, so I'm going to allow you to do it. But Romans 1 and 32, it tells you, it says that you don't have to do those things, but you could be around, I'm paraphrasing here, you don't have to do those things, but you could be around those people and you could find pleasure in those filthy jokes. You could find pleasure in seeing your neighbor cheat on his wife, or knowing that your neighbor cheating on his wife, and the suspense and the excitement of that flesh is motivating you to get deeper and deeper into that. See, those that find pleasure not only do the same, so thinks the man in his heart, then so is he, but they are what? Worthy of death. So we got to be careful. When we make that commitment, let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. We cannot go off the cliff because someone comes to us with seemingly a need. But if it's not a spiritual need, then most of the time our answer should be, well, brother, I can't do nothing for you because I'm satisfying that flesh of yours. I can't do nothing for you because if I don't do it, then I know that you might be weak and say the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, but I'm not going to be charged to that. So Looked like the time just flew by tonight. And I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to bring forth his word. Now, we're going to deal next week with the sins of the flesh. I'm going to tell you why you can't please the flesh, and that the flesh and the spirit is constantly warring against each other. And it's something that we need to know. And I'm also going to bring you a solution. Today I just gave you the problem, but I want you to contemplate on it. But next week, if the Lord allows, I'm going to give you a solution on how not to compromise, how to be more firmer and more stronger in the Lord. And I thank the Lord for this opportunity once again to bring forth his word. Thank the Lord for blessing me beyond my wildest imagination, for putting a limitation on me, because the law is for two things. The law is for my freedom, and the law is for my protection. God's law. Now, man might make some obscure laws, but I know that God's law is for my protection. If you say, don't do this, then it's a dire consequence. It's a woe behind it. So I thank the Lord. May God bless you and may ever keep you. Now, the next time you hear this voice, we'll be going into phase two of I'll Do Anything for Love, but I won't do that. And remember, to those that are struggling, that one great day is coming, and it's going to make it all worthwhile. So don't despair. Keep continuing to move ahead in the name of the Lord. This was meant for an encouragement to let us know that we cannot step across that line. So once again, may God bless you and may ever keep you. And I now turn you over into the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that powerful word, such a much needed word for such a time as this, because we see that we are living in the last days, and Jesus Christ is soon to come. The handwriting is truly on the wall. So this is a powerful lesson that you are bringing forth to the listeners as well as myself. So I am so grateful that you're going to be able to bring forth part two on next Saturday. So the listeners, please tune in on next Saturday for the conclusion of the whole matter regarding this topic on tonight. You want to tune in next Saturday night and hear what God has to say to us through his word, through his man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he concludes part two of this lesson that he started on tonight. Again, we thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for always sharing with us inspirational poems, for always allowing God to use you to bring forth needed words from the Lord that we need to hear. So we just bless you on tonight. We pray that God will continue to strengthen you, continue to bless you, that you will continue to be the man that he has called and anointed for you to be for such a time as this. We're going to get ready to close out on tonight. But before I close out in prayer, I want to remind the listeners on tonight that if you didn't hear the announcement at the beginning of the broadcast on tonight, Thursday, October the 31st will be my last show up until February of 2020. It will be the Lord's will. We will start back up in February of 2020 because the Lord has me on another assignment, and I need to be focused on this assignment. And so that's why I need time to be more focused on what God has ordained for me to do regarding this upcoming book. So I thank God for you, the listeners, and I pray that you would continue to tune in and be blessed by the word that comes forth over this worldwide platform. And again, I thank Deacon Marvin Cox for sharing another powerful word on tonight. God is always used Deacon Marvin Cox, and he's such a blessing to the body of Christ. So once again, remember that Thursday, the 31st of October, will be my last show up until February of 2020, if it be the Lord's will, so that I can focus on what God has ordained and assigned for my hand to do regarding my upcoming book, which is titled, Is God on Instagram? Finding Faith on Social Media, A Guide for Teens and Young Adults. So I pray that, and hopefully that it will be published and be able to be released before Christmas of this year. If not, it will be coming out early part of 2020. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord as we get ready to close out for tonight. Remember to tune in next Saturday night, same time at 8 p.m., to hear part two of Deacon Marvin Cox's message. His message title was, "I'll Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That." So you want to tune in on next Saturday to hear part two of that message. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're not like man. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. We know that you never slumber nor sleep. We thank you that your eyes are in every place. We know that you are in total control at all times. So no matter what happens around us, no matter what we hear or see or feel, let us remember and know those that belong to you. Let us remember that you are in total control and you promised that you would supply all of our needs. No matter who thinks they're in control, we know that you are in control. So we bless your name on tonight, for we know that you have all power in your hands and you are our promise keeper. You promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what's going on around us. You promised that once we're in your hands, that nothing and no one can pluck us out. So we just give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you again for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. Now, Lord, we pray and ask that you will move by your Spirit on tomorrow, that you will move by your Spirit like never before, because if there was ever a time that we needed you, we sure do need you now. So we ask that you will move by your Spirit in every door all over the land that's going to be open in your Son Jesus' name, that you will move by your Spirit, anoint each vessel even now that's going to stand on your word and declare your word on tomorrow, that many souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified, and that we who are saved in Jesus' name will be able to complete and fulfill our God purposes in the earth individually, and then as a corporate body of believers, that you will be glorified. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to move by your Spirit, continue to bless each listener, grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, which is next Thursday night at 8 p.m., you want to tune in and be blessed at 8 p.m. once again, and I hear another word from the Lord. And so I just want you to know that I love you. God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Cover me, Lord, with thy Spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy Spirit.